Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this. Talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody?
Beyond.
Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 264. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside he only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
What's up, Punky?
Powerhouse, formerly known as Ryan Clements. And the king of brat, my better half on Up at Noon, Brian Altano.
Is it my first time on the show?
No,
nope. I don't think so.
I was on half an episode once.
What happened to the rest of the...
Everyone had to leave, and somebody ran up and grabbed me.
Oh, well.
I'm like the replacement.
You know, you're nobody's replacement. Yeah, Goldfarb dead.
That's fine.
But
Goldfarb dead.
Usually you're just playing your 3DS, so you got nothing to contribute to this.
Talk about like a caveman. Yeah.
But today, Goldfarb, sunset.
Goldfarb dead. News not right.
Before we get to anything, a lot of questions, a lot of comments, Colin Moriarty, about one Hurricane Sandy coming through. Ed writes in from Maine. He says, my question / comment is for Colin. How are you dealing with the news of your beloved Islanders moving to Brooklyn? Not that it matters since there's no hockey. Also, do you have any small concerns about your family or friends in in the line with the Sandy?
Let's take them one at a time.
All right. How are you doing with most importantly, how are you doing with the Islanders?
That was a great piece of news for New York Islander fans.
Explain it to somebody that doesn't know what's happening.
So it's a long story, but the Islanders came into the league in the early 70s and an arena on Long Island was built for them. That arena has never been updated ever since it was built.
Like sort of a ghost story.
So I know, right? I really didn't expect it to go this far back.
So it was the most old and decrepit arena in the league.
Yes.
And the Islanders said that they will not play a minute past their lease expiration in 2015, regardless of what happens. And it looked like they were going to end up moving.
I think that place is like literally built on rats.
Yeah, it's... You've been to Nassau Coliseum.
It's
like awesome sight lines and stuff like that, but like really great arena for watch hockey, but it sucks at the same time.
Yep.
And so it looked like they were going to move.
It's great, but it sucks 8.5, I think.
Like, once you're inside, it's okay.
I've said that about a few things.
So anyway, they were going to move in 2015.
You're talking
it looked
about
like
vaginas,
so.
Right?
Okay. So they moved to decided they were going to move to Brooklyn and play at Barclays Center, about 20 miles away from where they play right now. That's where the Nets are going to start playing this year.
Gotcha.
As far as Hurricane Sandy, Altano's also from New Jersey, so this affects him and his family as well. But the homestead, the Moriarty homestead on Long Island, is okay.
The
Moriarty estate.
Yeah.
But our beach house right outside of Atlantic City is apparently fucked. So, and we won't know until Thursday because we're not allowed to go back there. So. Yeah. But family's fine, but our shit's not. So,
Brian, how are things with you?
I talked to people yesterday. Everyone seemed okay. No power. They were all watching a DVD off my brother's laptop until the battery died.
That sounds like the
start of a zombie movie.
Speaking of, we want to give a big shout out to Hong. He wrote into beyond@ign.com and said, Beyond!
Beyond.
Hello there, Beyond crew. My name is David. Why does your email say Hong then? Anyways, my name is David, and Hurricane Sandy wiped out my power. And with the remaining battery life I have in my phone, I send this email to you saying hi.
Beyond. Wow.
Hi, David Hong. Nice to see you.
Who's not listening to the show because his phone's dead.
We're not just live to tape anymore. We're live to the internet.
I don't know what the fuck that means.
It's going to be a good show.
It's going to be.
But everything's good with the fam? Fun.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they'll be fine. Okay. I haven't heard from them all day, so I assume they're not dead.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how that works.
Oh, goodness.
Chris Christie will take care of it.
Yeah.
All right, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be, the Roper Report. Time for some news. How many items are on the Roper Report?
There are seven
today?
Items on the list.
Oh, my goodness.
Not many. Number one, Grand Theft Auto V finally has a release window.
Supposedly. Did Rockstar confirm this today, right?
Yes.
Because what had happened is the news came up a while ago. Then this morning there was another article saying a UK person confirmed it.
Mm-hmm. And can I finish speaking?
It's no, we're a conversation podcast. You can get out of here. I know it sucks. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo. My houses keep washing away.
Wow.
after some leaks over the last few weeks, Rockstar has confirmed that GTA 5 will be coming to PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 in the spring of 2013. If you just shut up and let me finish a thought, Greg.
You know that's not going to happen ever. It's not how,
we're
not
a friendly show
that's,
here.
That's not the life. Those cards weren't dealt for you in life anymore.
If you quote, if you just
don't make the episode that I show up finally to be your breakup episode. I don't want to be front row.
If I can't say, I'll say this. Nice turn of phrase there.
What?
Leaks in the past few weeks. I like that.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's good.
A little rhyme.
Yeah.
I'm a poet and I don't even know it. I hate that.
Fuck you, Wii U and PC, apparently, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, interesting, right?
Nothing there.
So that's what we just say generally.
That's really weird. Yeah. No, there's no PC version either. Yeah. That seems really bizarre.
Well, we were talking about GameScoop the other day. Yeah, I mean, usually they're a staggered release. I think GTA 4 saw 6 months between GTA 4 on 360 PS3 and GTA 4 on PC, which is weird.
Wii U, I don't know about all that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
We all know so much about the Wii U and its specs and its online.
I'm really looking forward to getting those in the office.
Yeah.
See what the fuck's going on with that.
They'll be here one day.
any year now.
See what's going on.
Number two. Fresh on the heels of the mandatory firmware update 4.30 comes firmware update 4.31.
Good.
It's entirely optional and will improve online stability. Go ahead and download it if you should so desire.
Big fan of this one.
You're a big fan of the online stability?
4.30. Wait, one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know.
You probably have firmware update like 3.9 on your PS3.
No, I just updated.
Sort it the fuck out.
I just updated like a week ago. Calm down. So that means I'm 7 updates behind. One a day. Get it?
Gotcha. It's depressing. I fell for the trap, Colin, the other day because I had unplugged the internet and put it into the PC and didn't have it in the automatic update in PS3 anymore.
Turned
on the PS3 the other day to do some stuff, and there's that update. I was trying to watch the Bears. NFL Sunday Ticket.
Oh, you fucked up.
Is this still a thing for you guys where people complain to you guys all the time about these updates and how long they take?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
like
usually
nothing
babies
else
in the
updates.
Office. It's usually the babies in the office.
But no, because
Mitch Dyer has to turn on his PS3.
Because I personally, I don't care. I turn on my PS3 enough that it's never really an issue for me. But I feel like we've officially passed the point where people have spent more time complaining about it than they have waiting for things to update.
There's people who, like Sam Claiborne had a bad time recently where he was like running it off Wi-Fi and it was taking hours and hours and hours. And I get that. But something should clue you in that something's wrong there and that there's other ways around it.
I think also the main frustration is just that even to this day, the updates, even if they're not particularly big... What is that? Even the updates, which aren't particularly big files, they still take a fairly long time to download and then install. Whereas, I mean, not to, just the analog is the 360, which on the rare update that they have, it just seems like it goes pretty quickly. Even the big, dashboard changing ones.
Yeah.
So
then there's the PC, which needs DirectX active controls reinstalled every time.
There's spyware pop ups.
Yeah, that's
you're playing Minesweeper and there's ads. I can't do that.
Once or twice a month, PS3 asks you to take 10 minutes out of your day to just update it. It's not really the end of the world.
Take a walk.
No, not at all. I didn't say it was bad. I'm just explaining why I think people complain.
Make a fucking drink. Calm down.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
A hot toddy.
Also, speaking of Xbox 360, I went on it yesterday to play PID for a little while, which I just reviewed. That went up today. I think it's a grand conspiracy that the Xbox dashboard is easier to use than Cross Media Bar. This thing is fucking ridiculous.
That is a total lie. Anyone who's telling you that is a totally lying in your face. Like, I can't find anything on that thing anymore.
No, I
feel like a grandfather when I go on my Xbox 360 because I don't know where anything is anymore. Like, I was trying to play a movie off of a USB storage device, and it was just like, nope, where is this thing hidden? I went through like 8 blades or whatever, and I was like, I'm just going to play it on PC.
It's a conspiracy.
It all goes back to just whatever you use you think is the easiest thing in the world. And that's why like we don't bitch about firmware, but everybody else does. You know what I mean? And then like nobody bitches about the Xbox thing. We do. And then
I mean, I don't know. I had like a sea change in the middle of this generation where I played everything on 360, and one day I was like, I started playing on PS3 more, and I was like, I just like it better here.
Yeah.
I like navigating the menus more on PS3. I like playing games more on PS3. Yeah. That's the way I am.
That XMB.
Yeah. Beyond.
Number three, you're welcome here, by the way.
Thank you.
Number three, the
you're like, meanwhile, Clements, get out.
Get the fuck out.
Clements was telling me about that game FTL. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, on PC. I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Number three, the ESRB has rated Grand Theft Auto San Andreas for PlayStation 3. GTA 3 is already on the PSN as a PS2 classic, and Vice City was rated earlier this year. It's likely that San Andreas is also rated as a PS2 classic and isn't the trophy-enabled version we all
want.
These aren't up-res or HD remakes or anything, right? They're just straight up.
They're just the PS2 classics. I mean, we continue to hold out hope that Rockstar Essentials Volume 2 or whatever will have one of these at least. And I just don't get it. Like, especially for GTA 3. Like, they decided to make a deal about it, you know, having the anniversary, put it on iPad. It was like, you've already gone that far. Why?
You're there. You're
making it's got to be easier, I'd imagine, to put it in HD and put it on the PS3/360.
Yeah, we put up that feature yesterday because it was a 10-year anniversary of Vice City, and I didn't realize that they had never re-released that in HD, and everyone in the comments was like, this game is awesome. Why can't I play it again on my PS3 in HD?
It's too much to ask. Right? Too much to ask.
They hate fucking free money.
Yeah, it's that's the thing. It's money. It's just money in the bank.
Free money. Money in the bank.
Money in the bank is always a good thing. Number four, 38 Studios, the unfortunately deceased studio behind Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, saw all of its assets auctioned off this week from both its Rhode Island and Maryland offices. The assets were sold for a combined $830,000.
That was a crazy story.
I would love to have gone to that.
38 Studios and its IP are stolen by the state of Rhode Island.
You know what they were almost selling in that, right?
Ryan Geddes.
Yes, Ryan Geddes. It was Xbox 360 dev kits.
Yeah. No way, yeah. Really?
And Microsoft was like, you can't do that. Yeah. We can't just have some kid on eBay find that.
I saw somebody tweeted at us that they had bought the 38 Studios award or something. They had won some award.
Was
for,
it an IGN
Reckoning.
Best of
No,
Future
it wasn't.
Award?
It wasn't, oh, sadly, that. That would have been even better.
I got tons of those I can give out.
We'll go auction that shit.
How much you want?
I still get frustrated every time I hear just about that, and I just feel so bad for that studio. My heart really goes out to that studio.
I feel bad for them too, because their game was awesome.
We all had such a great time with Amalur. Like, I mean, like, so many people in the IGN office love that game, and it just sucks to see those people go through all that.
Yeah.
Let's just say my review hit the nail on the head.
I think so.
Number five. G4 has canceled its popular shows Attack of the Show and X-Play. Both games will run through the end of the year. Our thoughts go out to all those at G4 whose jobs are affected by the cancellations.
Yeah, those are old running shows.
Yeah, I have no attachment to those shows at all. I never really
You're like, more of a Cheaters fan?
Yeah, well, I was a huge Cheaters fan, but that
Campus
was
PD.
Campus PD, that's what's up. I love Cheaters. Whether it's Joey Greco or Tommy Grand, it's all good to me.
I like Joey Greco.
Is that the show where they catch people cheating on their significant others?
Yeah. And then they like storm
no,
them at an app.
You catch them cheating in games.
And then they go to like Applebee's and blow it up.
Yeah. That would be such a great show, Greg.
All right, we can option that.
Yeah.
We gotta be careful. We gotta be on our game now for Up at Noon. There's a lot of hosts out there.
I know.
Better
right?
than us ready to come in.
Yeah, this is rough.
Anyway, I was just saying I never watched either of those shows, really, I don't think ever. But a lot of people are really into those shows.
Yeah.
There's a lot of heartbreak over
it's
that.
It's funny because they always – Attack of the Show does it live at Comic-Con every year and draws such a huge crowd.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah.
Such a huge crowd.
To me, it's weird because it's one of those things like I remember when they canceled Conan O'Brien's show after he had just started it. And all these people were like, oh, man, that really sucks. And I was like, when was the last time you watched that show?
Right.
And they're like, well, never. But still, it's one of those things I like to have tucked in the back of my head to know it exists forever. But it sucks. Like a lot of good people lost their jobs.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
This happens a lot these days, and I hope everyone lands
It's
on
one of
feet.
Those things that's not completely out of the blue, right? Like, G4 had announced earlier this year that they were going to be restructuring, trying to go this different way. So you imagine something was going to happen. At least they gave them the 2 months, right? Like,
sure.
You have 2 months now to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad.
Oh, well.
Number six, Ratchet & Clank Full Frontal Assault finally has a release date, at least in North America. Look for the PS3 and Vita game on November 27th. It will cost $20, and one purchase will buy you both versions of the game. Additionally, the game will be available at retail. That's interesting.
I still think that's such an awesome price for that game.
That's ridiculous.
I'm sorry. I really wasn't. I mean, maybe it's just me being naive. I was not expecting it to be that cheap.
That's about what I thought it was going
to
cost.
Yeah, I feel like it was, you know, maybe like the $30 to $40 game because it's not like it. It's not one of the huge like canonical Ratchets, but it kind of is though. Like it has a full story. It's part of that series.
The canon, as it were.
The canon.
I don't know about that game.
The deep Ratchet canon. What are you talking about?
Don't know about that game?
Oh,
if you let
no.
me talk, if you let me talk.
Oh, no. We're moving on.
Talk.
Number seven.
No. Why put it out after Thanksgiving? That's what I'm talking about. I don't mean the quality of the game. We've all spoken of the quality of the game, that it's a good
it's
game.
It's release window.
Yeah.
Number seven.
But why put it out? First off, why put it out on a retail disc at all? And then if you're going to do that, why put it out after Black Friday?
For I think on disc for Ratchet fans to have, there's a huge contingent of Ratchet fans. That's
sure,
why those
but there's
sell.
More people who like think about it, if you're a mom in the store and there's a new release on there and it's $20 or whatever, and there you go, you're done. You got a game, a good game, good price. Ratchet. I know Timmy loves Ratchet.
Timmy O'Toole.
Yeah.
He loves Ratchet.
Shapes, Bob.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a little weird. I actually would have released it in December.
Yeah. I would have gone digital only, and then put. Maybe they know more. I guess about. Even if you okay, so I was gonna say maybe they know more about how Quest for Booty performed because that was download only, but that was. Like that was eons ago in PlayStation Network time. There weren't nearly the install base. There wasn't really the.
Do you guys ever get those numbers?
No. No. What you get is like the you know in next month we'll get what sold in October from
an order,
and they don't give you numbers on it.
And you never see digital download numbers, right?
No. Well, every once in a while we do when they say
if they want to make a giant.
Well, I know like with Journey, we heard like this was the
fastest selling
or whatever. All these they kind of move the goalposts around, but I don't understand like as we move more towards that. why is that still kept a secret? And it's not it's just Sony. Like, Nintendo does it. Microsoft does it. Like,
it's, I think it's – I mean, right now, I think it's because it's been such a small number for so long.
Right.
I mean, when it is, that's your only way to get games. Sure, they'll have no problem sharing that stuff. Yeah. But with the fact that that's – like, right now, if you were to release those numbers, a general consumer would hear those numbers and think, oh, my God, what a failure. And you have to be like, no, that's not a failure. Like, as far as people downloading games, that's actually doing really well.
Sure, because, I mean, you're cutting out most of the overhead of there's no trucks, there's no GameStop employees, sure. There's no shipment, there's no – so anything you sell should be somewhat impressive. But I guess if the numbers are so pathetic, it's not even worth reporting.
I'm sure a lot of them are.
Yeah.
Some of them aren't. By the way, remember I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
Late last year, about this time, we talked to Shi, the New Zealand developer that created Shatter, which is the best game on PlayStation ever.
Yeah.
And
they teased Shatter and it was coming soon.
I love how it's to this day. How long ago did you review that game?
I didn't review it.
Oh, I'm sorry. When did
it came out like 4 years ago, and it's still the best PlayStation Network game, hands down. And they said that they will have more news on Shatter soon, and that was over a year ago. So they straight up fucking lied to us. Now my theory about this is still, and again, remember I wrote another story about it because they did like this press conference thing in New Zealand or whatever, where they were like presenting a New Zealand game developer thing, and we'll have more information on Shatter soon. And that was like 6 months ago. It's like, dudes, what's going on with Shatter?
Remember, they're in a different country, so their definition of soon might not be the same as ours.
Soon is like a 20-year time frame.
There's a guy in a boat right now. He's got the Shatter build coming. He's like over the waves.
I really wish we were a video podcast right now for Colin's enactment of how the boat is going on the waves.
It's going to Foster City. There's a captain on the. He's like, oh man, get the sails. And there's a guy just like protecting the USB port in his
pocket.
Mayor
Bloomberg was on TV last night giving a speech about the storm, and there was a woman standing next to him doing sign language, and she looked just like what you were doing right there. So she was practically like holding her nose, being like, don't drown, like waving her arms in the air.
I saw the flood jokes. The gifs on that. We're from the Tri-State. We can joke about it.
Yeah, that's cool. A peanut butter.
Number 7, this is the last one. Dead Island Riptide has a release date. It will hit North American stores on April 23rd and will launch internationally on April 26th.
So this is
Hey, is there a hurricane drowning the country? Let's release our release date today for Riptide.
I didn't think of that. That's good.
Yeah.
That's real good.
And I'll tell you what, we talked about it on GameScoop earlier in the week about how the fact that, you know, the GTA at the time rumored to be coming in spring or whatever, is that going to push games off, blah, blah, blah. Look at Riptide. They're not afraid of no GTA. Mm-hmm. Whatever. We'll come in April. We'll do what we want.
We do what we want when we want to do it.
Who do you voodoo, bitch? There better be another GTA about it. Is anyone excited for Dead Island Riptide?
No.
So it's a standalone half-sequel, sort of.
Exactly. That's right? It's a really awkward. I was listening to Damon do the news report on it today. It's not a full-fledged sequel, but it's got new environments, and it's got this. I don't know about that part.
Okay. It is retail.
No, it is retail.
I think it's $40, though.
Okay. But you don't. Okay. So you just go into the store, you buy it, and you go, well, I wasn't sure about that last one, but this Riptide thing really
It strikes
has...
me a lot of is how bad the idea of putting out Dead Rising 2, whatever the hell the Frank West was. Not Case the downloadable West. Ones, but the ones that was a dish that was the
drop,
same game with
Chop Till You Drop? No.
No, that was
the Wii one. Craig Harris's best preview ever.
Off the record.
It's not terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for the 10 minutes I played, it's not the worst thing in the world. Thanks, Craig. Good box quote. Colin.
Yes.
If I wanted to go into the store right now and pick up brand new boxes, where could I go to find out what games came to stores?
You have the official list of upcoming PlayStation software, excuse me, on all three platforms by the IGN editors. It has. It's been a really rough day for me. PS3 games.
I don't know what we were supposed to do there.
PS3 games at retail. All of these are available digitally.
Holy shit.
As well. Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. All right. Sports Champions 2, which I'm playing. Yeah. It's fun. Sports Champions.
I like the skiing one. The downhill skiing.
I found something very interesting we got to talk about in one of the games, actually. WWE 13.
Oh, okay.
And Toy Story Mania. I have no idea what the fuck that is.
Okay. Hmm. It sounds like our kind of cup of tea, though. It sounds like it.
Yeah, we'll get Vin to review that one. Yeah.
Well, I'm kidding.
On Vita... Assassin's Creed 3, obviously all these are available digitally because they have to be. And yeah. I think every one of these is at retail, actually, too.
Yeah.
AC3 Liberation, Need for Speed, Most Wanted, Ragnarok Odyssey, Lego Lord of the Rings.
Came out of the blue.
I played it at Comic-Con.
I mean, we've known the game existed, but it was like the real games, the console games don't come out until November of teens. And then all of a sudden today, they're like, oh, by the way, 3DS and Vita are in stores.
Cool, we'll take it. And Smartass.
I'm writing that review right now.
For PSN, in addition to all the digital games, Okami HD comes out today, which should be rad. And Twisted Metal is available digitally at a discount. And PS2 classic, Nobunaga's Ambition, Rise to Power.
Oh, okay.
They're really hitting all the keynotes with the PS2 classics.
Got the big one.
That's it.
There's your retail and digital games, which leads us to an email from tiny_tim31. He wrote into beyond@ign.com, just like you can. Since this week is jam-packed with games, I think you should do an official pick of the week again. It's been a while. Keep up the good work, Beyond. I am Timothy Johns, and I approve this message.
Mm.
Beyond. Pick of the week. Let's talk about some of these games on this list here now.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
You did the Ragnarok. No good.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it. Although, some people, I've been having a conversation with Jim Sterling. Not really a conversation. We talked about it a little bit today, but he's been tweeting kind of antithetical comments to my own Ragnarok Odyssey thoughts. He thinks the game, I think he said, called it fucking ace.
No, that's a big one for me.
I wouldn't call it fucking shit, but yeah.
You're the opposite of ace still.
Yeah, it's not good. In my opinion.
Mm-hmm, okay.
I
reviewed Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation. Mm-hmm, gave it a 7.2 today.
What do you think of that?
I think it's good. 7.2. yeah.
Just want to see if you're paying attention.
So that was the game that was going to get me to buy a white Vita.
Yeah. You and still should. I mean, it's still
a
white Vita.
I still should. Yeah. Because the thing's beautiful looking.
Yeah.
But no.
I mean,
maybe.
It's one of those things like, you don't already own a Vita?
No.
So, I mean, like, if you're looking to get a Vita.
Okay.
Like, the Vita's got a great library. It's like PSP where we have to talk this through or whatever. There's not a million great games coming out every day, but there's still great stuff to play. You'd be fine.
I mean, I own a 3DS. It's not, the grass isn't much greener over there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think the grass is greener with the Vita in terms of the library at this point.
I'm shocked that you would say that, but.
No, I mean, I bought a 3DS. But,
right.
But I think at this point, Greg and I were talking about it. I think at this point, Vita, if you haven't bought a Vita, if you haven't played anything on Vita yet, you have a lot of fucking games to play at this point.
I have a lot of games to play.
It's one of those things. I think maybe the Vita lineup is more consistent, and then 3DS has more huge standouts in terms of a Mario this or that or whatever. But maybe not being as God, because it's one of those things outside of hearing about this Mario game or Mario Kart or something along those lines, I don't hear a lot of, holy shit, I'm playing this on 3DS and it's great.
Yes.
That would be the point. You know what I mean? Whereas it seems like me and you get hooked on different things at different
times. I think that there are a dozen must play good or great games on Vita.
Yeah.
Cool. And I think that there are another 10 that are worth fucking around with.
And so that's where I think Liberation falls into. I think Liberation, it's one of those things, if you like Assassin's Creed, you'll like this fine. It's fine. It's one of those things, my problem with it is the fact that I really like the character of Aveline, right? Like, she's this cool, you know, she's half white, she's half black, she's raised in a free family or whatever, but in the beginning we start and her mother disappears, then we jump ahead and she's an assassin, and there's this giant believability gap in the middle of, how did she get trained to be an assassin? What? Well, how do her parents not know she's an assassin? Like, it's in the video review, I talk about it being a lot like Batgirl in the Adam West Batman show, where she's just conveniently just doing her thing. Like, she doesn't have to explain anything or what's happening or how she became this person. She's just this, and her story thread is real simple to jump into, real simple to jump out of, which is good for a portable game. But it's not like the most, holy shit, I got to keep playing this. And then the frame rate has some problems. There's stuff along these lines.
How's the world, though? Is it like,
I was happy with the world. Like, it's a big New Orleans, and there's stuff to do. There's shops to buy. There's slaves to free. There's all these different things to go do. Businesses to shut down. You can go to the bayou. There's a couple other places you go to throughout the game, too. Some people said it was a lifeless world. I didn't agree with that. Like, I found running on rooftops to be just like Assassin's Creed. It did totally strike me as the normal. Like, when they announced the American Revolution and we talked about, oh, yeah, that's what we've always wanted, one of my favorite things in any Assassin's Creed game, right, is going around syncing viewpoints and figuring out how do I climb up to this high thing.
Yeah.
And it was totally one of those things when Colin and I was talking about American Revolution, it's like, well, they're not going to be as high, right? Like, there weren't these, like, giant, like, things like there are in Rome. And sure enough, yeah, it's like three stories up, and I'm like, synchronize, okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I've noticed that with the console version a little bit, where you climb the top of a church, and it's a quarter of the size as something in Rome was or something like that. Like,
tell me about the console version. Like, Colin, I hear screaming from his room playing it, but I haven't played it myself because I've been reviewing Liberation.
Our review went up today. We gave it an 8.5. I'm never in the interest of, like, shitting on my coworkers in terms of what they play.
Sure.
And
well,
they
we all have different opinions.
Of course. But, you know, this is one of the biggest games of the year. We're all incredibly excited for it. But it, like, and Colin and I kind of had the same realization where everything is there but the gameplay.
Yeah.
Like, everything you want to be there is brilliantly realized. The way the world is put together is incredible. There's fucking just life everywhere. You turn the corner,
everywhere.
There's just so much to see and so much to look at, and it's just like there's dogs running around. You can stop and pet one if you want. Like, there's animals. Just you can go hunting, you can go climbing, you can run in and out of buildings. But then you hit the button to run, and you accidentally hit somebody, and then you accidentally climb up a wall, and then you're climbing a flagpole in the middle of a busy street while eight people are suddenly chasing you.
My favorite is when Altano was pantomiming his play experience with Assassin's Creed 3, and he's like just blending in with the crowd. He's like walking, and then all of a sudden he's like, ha! And like jumps on the side of a wall, and then everybody's like looking
at him. You're walking down the street, and all of a sudden you do a cartwheel and then jump off a wall, and everyone's like, whoa! That dude's out of his mind! Like, you gotta get that guy! He's fucking crazy! He's like, no, no, I swear, don't! Please, I'm just trying to feed this dog. So it's I was talking with Max Scoville, who reviewed it for Revision 3, and I told him that it's sort of like you're a piece of Velcro and you're in the factory full of the other sides of piece of Velcro, and you're just trying to walk through, and no matter what, you're just getting stuck to everything.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, then you start, and you can chime in whenever, but when you start fighting people, like, I feel like the combat is just not, it's just not there. Like, you go to parry and stuff like that, and, like, I feel like one out of three times it works perfectly for you. Sometimes you're just hitting a button and it does a slowdown like you're about to kill someone, and you just swing right by him. And it's just like, why even script that animation in there? So, but I mean, like, it's beautiful. Like, the setting is incredible. Like, you're in love with some of the characters just from a historical setting. And it's like, we all call this from the jump that you would love this, like, from this perspective. But the second you actually get your hands on the controls, you'd be like, well, it's Assassin's Creed 2. And Assassin's Creed 2, we gave a free pass because we were like, you know, this is trying something here, but they'll get it right. They'll fix this down the line, you know. But this world is beautiful and the characters are great. And then they didn't. They just kept hitting that same mistake five times in a row now. So,
yeah, it's a problem. I mean, I'm not surprised that Assassin's Creed 3 isn't very good.
Yeah.
But I agree with the sense that if we were judging Assassin's Creed 3 and everything in the game but the way it played, it would be a 10. Like, I believe that and I stand by it. It's beautiful. It's well-researched. It's, like you said, a vibrant and alive. Think about an RPG where you're going to a town and there's seven people there.
Yeah.
You know, like,
none of them can move.
There's like a fucking million people in Boston. You know, there's not literally a million people in Boston in 1770, but there's a lot of people in Boston. That city's huge. There are people there working and toiling away. They're talking to each other. They're shopping. It's awesome. You know, you go to the frontier, which is a misnomer because no one called the fucking space in between Boston and New York in 1770 the frontier. But you go to like Lexington and Concord, and there's people's houses, and they're farming, and they're riding horses, and they're tending to their horses. And doing
spoilers, don't go into the frontier with the first character you get to play in that game because he's not meant to go there. Even though they let you go there, he doesn't know what he's in a full on like revolutionary suit, and he gets out there and he's trying to climb trees, or you can make him try to climb trees, and he's just falling down the hills. He just, he's like a confused old man that woke up drunk in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it's a beautifully realized world, and that's what makes it so disappointing.
Yeah.
Because it is such a miss when you start playing the game. It's just a fucking huge miss. Like, it's I started to think that it's marginally better than Assassin's Creed 2 in terms of gameplay, but then I started to realize that I'm just telling myself that because it's the same game with the same problems. It has the same fucking problems. Mm-hmm. And it's really frustrating because I really want to like this game. People will remember that I went back to play Assassin's Creed 2, gave it another chance, platinumed it, fucking hated it. But I platinumed it. I wanted to see the whole story through. I wanted context. And like Brian said, I wanted to believe that they were going to fix the problems here. But I started running into so many problems that I started writing them down. That's how crazy it is. I'm like, there are serious issues in this game, systemic issues in this game. Yeah. The lockpicking is terrible.
It's really bad. Thank you.
Terrible.
Why did they see that? I haven't played it and I don't know anything about that. How can we not have lockpicking working by now? How many games have done lockpicking?
Just don't have it in games anymore.
I know,
just
but wait until you try it. That's what I was screaming at yesterday. It is insane how annoying it is.
Thank you so much for bringing that up. It is really bad. So you hold the left stick until you feel a slight vibration, then you hold the right stick until you feel a slight vibration, and you start mashing on the trigger, and then he just goes, nope. And you're like, what did I do wrong? And then you try it again, and he's like, nope. And after like five times of getting it wrong, the box just opened, and then I jumped into it. And I'm standing in a treasure chest. Whoa! Like, all right.
I think the combat is annoying. There are really cool things like that he does, like where he's fighting with a sword or he's fighting with like a tomahawk or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he just pulls out a gun and like shoots someone and then puts it back in his holster or whatever. And it's only one shot, obviously. So then he puts it. But then there are frustrating things where I'm like, I hold the triangle button down because I want him to reload his gun. But then someone attacks him and he puts it back in his holster. There are just like really weird things. I'm like, fucking load the gun. It takes like 10 seconds. You got
to
load the gun.
It doesn't take 10 seconds. It takes a minute and a half to load it.
Yeah.
And he's like putting the musket thing in. It's like
I had a
fight with a guy who was standing on a roof, and he had a gun, and I had a gun, and he fired a shot, and I fired a shot, and then it was like a minute for each of us. I got this. Hold on. And then I shot, and he like hit his shoulder. And he's like, ah, fuck. All right, hold on, I'm gonna load. And I'm like, I'm loading mine too. I'm like, I could have climbed up there and killed you five times by now. God damn it.
It's just it's a shame because I think that the series. I mean, I've only played the second one, and now I played the third one. if they all feel like this, then people are really I differ greatly in opinion on the way the game feels. Because
you actually managed to skip over the really bad ones, too.
Like, I'm not going to play any more of these.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
like, I want to get through AC3. I want to play Liberation, but so I want to write about them. I think one of the great things they do is they take real people from history and Benjamin Church and Charles Lee and all these guys and give them, like, alternate history stories, which I think is fucking really cool. That's really cool. It's very well researched. The microphone just broke. Oh, jeez.
Clements broke his mic. Got to play with it all the time. Just like his Willy.
I just moved it slightly.
Nobody can hear what you're saying but me, so I guess I win.
But I don't know.
See, I don't think you need to play Liberation from that aspect, though. Because you're talking about all the historical stuff you want to do with it. Like, there really isn't. Like, it's a very personal tale with her and her family about slavery going on in New Orleans.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't think Assassin's Creed 3 is bad. I just think it's not good. You know?
Yeah.
Like it's not. It's somewhere in the middle where, like, everything... It's such a shame because everything it does is so amazing. You know? And
I'm muted Clemens' mic until this is sorted out.
Everything it does is just... It's just... That's what I'm saying. It's not like it's like, well, the gameplay's not very good, but nothing else it does is very good either. It's like, this is a AAA game with incredible polish and great voice acting and beautiful graphics and beautiful animations.
A fucking ton of people worked on this game.
Yeah, and it's beautifully realized, and everyone should be commended, except for the way the game plays. And that is what matters.
It's fascinating to... it's one of those I'm really, really fascinated to look ahead at what this means. Because remember, they made a big point when they were talking about it coming into it, how they were this is kind of like they were the dinosaurs. You know what I mean? As far as like nobody's making games like this. They're not doing huge teams. We always talk about the fact that there are these AAA games, and then there's the downloadable games, and everything in the middle is falling out. And so, what is this actually matter to people? Is it going to be first off, how is everyone going to react to this? Because it's one of those things. As soon as I put
this game's going to be huge.
As soon as I put up my Liberation, well, I know, but games can be huge and still then be like, oh my god, wait a second, that wasn't good. Like, look at the Resident Evils, right? Like, it's one of those things where I put up my review, and immediately people are like, oh, you're fucking crazy. Assassin's Creed, man, I'm going to love it. Yep. You're nuts. Blah blah blah. And it's like,
well, that's
fine.
That's the thing. I mean, I think that that anybody who has been playing these over and over is probably just like Stockholm syndrome into thinking that all of these gameplay things that are fundamentally broken are fine and they'll keep playing them. But I worry for someone like jumping into the franchise for the first time for multiple reasons. One is the story outside of the setting that they're in. When every time they pull back to the modern stuff, you're like, stop, please. Well, I mean,
I know. It was a joke because you were saying somebody hadn't played. Yeah, the Desmond stuff. Yeah,
all the Desmond stuff, and it's like it's actually very distracting to the point. Like, I was having a conversation with Benjamin Franklin in the game, and it's in the upper right hand corner. It said, "You've gotten one new email," and it's like, what the fuck? Pick a fucking world and stick with it. And I never checked emails in that game.
I don't even know how.
I don't even know how. I don't.
I have no idea how. I tried to check my email. I have no idea how to find.
Because to me, the notion of running around, you know, Boston during this time and then checking my email on my mind's PDA is horrible.
My mind's PDA.
Yeah, it just seems so stupid to me. So I think I would be cool with if they had one where it was just like, oh man, the Animus is broken. We can't get you back, so you're trapped there.
Well, like, I mean, like, okay. If there you go. Play Liberation.
Yeah.
Because Liberation's thing is, like, Liberation, it's funny. I didn't put it in the review because I'm talking about my things with the game or, you know, blah, blah, blah. But they make some really interesting choices in the beginning of basically, like, you got an opening, scene and you're not related to Aveline at all. It's just like, hey, you've purchased Abstergo's on-the-go Animus.
Mm-hmm.
So you plug in. You're going to play as Aveline, blah, 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 this girl who's this, that, and then you just jump in.
Nice.
And then that's it. There's still a few little Animus things, like, you know, glitches and people in it and shit like that. But it's like, it's totally not like you're not related to that person. You have to worry about it. Then the other thing that I didn't call out, because again, it didn't affect gameplay. You get different personas in Assassin's Creed Liberation, which are basically costume changes. Like, there's the tri-corner hat assassin we all know, runs the top of the rooftop. She can stab and fight stuff. But then she has a lady persona, which is like her in her prim and proper dress, so she can't climb, she can't fight as well. She has a parasol that she can shoot darts out of and kill people with. And then there's a slave persona where she can kind of go undercover and get, you know, behind lines and be a slave and not be like, wait, why are you over here? All that's interesting.
That's very cool. I didn't know about any of those.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I would have loved it if it was like what would have been awesome, right? Is if they took that and they said, all right, here's the mission. It's Hitman. Who do you want to be?
Yeah.
How do you want to infiltrate? Whatever. But really what it is, here's your mission. You need to be the lady for this one. And it's like, oh, fuck. I'm going to go be the lady and walk around and do all this other stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually borderline more interested in that game now at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's one of those things you're not going to like it because it's the same kind of gameplay. Like, it's just
fundamentally broken. Like, I know people think I'm crazy, but when I think of games that develop parkour, pressing the button... all right, let me put it this way. I made an analogy, which I think is actually pretty apt. I was talking about how in Mario games you hold down the B button to run. Right, and you just hold it down. But this is on a 2D plane, and when you run into things, you stop. But when you're in a 3D plane in which you can clip into almost anything and you hold down a button just like you do in Mario and you start running and interacting with things that you don't want to interact with, that is a problem. That is why you press buttons in Infamous to jump on things.
Yeah.
That's why Cole doesn't clip into buildings and start climbing up them unless you press the X button. That's why Infamous's parkour is much better than Assassin's Creed.
I agree.
It's a fundamental design choice, you know, and you know, to Brian's earlier point, there's just weird shit going on in the city at all times. Like, I'm just walking around, and for no reason, the redcoats are after me. Like, I didn't even do anything. And then I can go – the next time, I can go through, and they're fine with it. I have people – in 1770, I have the Boston militia chasing me and the redcoats. They don't even like each other. Why would they both be chasing me? You know, like, there's just fundamental flaws in terms of that. I had to restart a mission because the NPC I was with wouldn't walk around a horse.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of stuff happens all the time.
Like, it's like, I just think for all
walking
of
walking around horses is bad luck.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. The horse is there, you wait for it to move.
We both saw this too, but, and I, this doesn't spoil anything. It's like, I think it's like the first scene of the game. You are in a theater and you're supposed to assassinate someone. So you get up from your seat and it's a crowded theater. It's totally packed and it's really light in there. It's like before a movie starts, like when they show the Coca-Cola commercials. And you can get up and just start climbing all over people's heads.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, that's my fucking excuse. And then you start climbing up the, like, basically where, like, to the, where the old guys sit in the Muppets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're just climbing up in front of the whole room and, like, hundreds of people. One of them would be like, Mom, what's up with that crazy ass motherfucker up there? No, it's cool. It's cool. I'm going to kill somebody.
It's a bad start.
And see, it's one of those things that I don't. In a game like the Assassin's Creed, both Liberation and this, it's we're getting to the point where you have to start weighing realism versus the game part of it, right? Because, like, for me, one of the biggest, goofiest things in Assassin's Creed Liberation is one of the like, there's pros and cons for each persona. One of the pros for the lady persona is that she can charm people. So basically, you can charm to get past a guard or whatever and not get reported or whatever, mm-hmm. blah, blah. But what this plays out as is like the hokiest thing where you walk up to a guard who's like, wait a second. And you hit the charm button, you do a little dainty wave, he tips his hat back, then a heart appears above his head and slowly starts to like unfill. You know what I mean? And
like,
if it gets back down to nothing, then he's going to go back and report you. But you can charm him over and over again. And when you charm him, he then follows you around like a puppy dog. So like, it was like, go assassinate this person. I'm like, all right. And I charm my way past the guard. And then I'm just walking through this restricted area with all these guards behind me, just walking to the like governor's house to murder him. Like, into his private chambers. Everybody's like, oh, this chick's going to blow us or something. Like, we'll stick this out. Like,
he loves all of us. Oh, God, they killed him.
And then we were talking about, like, you know, suspending disbelief and how the Vita version's doing different things, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I've always found it interesting that in the Assassin's Creed games, you're playing, right, and if you accidentally kill someone, like just a random person on the street, it's like, whoa, you know, Ezio didn't kill civilians. He didn't kill, you know, people. Stick to your targets. Yeah, you're not sunk all the way. So when you're going, each persona gains notoriety with the bad guys. So, like, if, you know, like there's meters where if it's, like, yellow, they're going to be, like, quicker to get on you. Uh-huh. And if it's red, they'll immediately come after you. So to lower those, everybody has to do different things to bring them down. And one of them is killing witnesses. So it's just if you were just a normal dude on the street and you saw me kill somebody, like, you've now been flagged as a witness.
Yep, you're
and
dead.
So I just get to go murder you. Like, okay. It's like, man, damn, son.
Wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly.
Stitches get stitched.
Ruining people's lives.
I played this one mission, and this is totally nondescript, but there was like 15 people and I had to free some guys on the other side of them. So I went up and I killed one of them. And then two of them walked over and like, yo, man, that's fucked up. This dude's dead. And I was like, yep, I'm sitting back. And I walk up and I kill the other one. And he's like, oh, man, another one's dead. And over the course of 10 minutes, I killed all of them except for this one guy, and then his yellow meter went away, and he's just like, this is probably normal.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's like, nope.
I'm doing the blow dart things where I blow dart. Like, I had one target and then two guys with him, so I blow dart the one guy dead.
Yeah.
And as soon as he dead, the other two guys are just like, well, I don't know. And just like, they investigated for a second and then just like walked
random
off.
Random heart attacks.
They walked
all
off
the time
in two different
job.
Directions. Just walked over there and I start looting the body, and then someone from across the field is like, wait a second. God damn it.
That's what I'm saying. It's just there's inconsistent scripting and bad AI. I mean, it's a shame. I will say, let's leave it with this. I want people to really think about this. It's something I said before, but I really want people to think about it from a fundamental game design standpoint, because people get mad at me about the fact that I don't like Assassin's Creed games.
I got your back.
Think about this, why it might be problematic in a 3D world that encourages climbing, that the run button and the climb button are the same.
And
that
the you don't... button and the text button and the tweet button and the jump button, it's all the same. There's a billion things assigned to one button. That's really what's
wrong. It's a fundamental flaw in why when you hold it down... That could be a problem. That is a fundamental flaw. That is a flaw. Like, that is a huge, glaring flaw, and that's just the way it is. I mean, You know, if you can, it's a matter of whether you can accept it.
Developers don't think so.
Well, it's a matter of whether you can accept it or not. But I don't understand how, like, we have a lot of PlayStation loyal, obviously, people listening to this this podcast that love games like Infamous. Think about why Infamous feels good, you know? And then think about why Assassin's Creed might not feel as good as Infamous. And it goes back to that one point, and that's it.
Yep.
You know? Because I think everything else Assassin's Creed does is actually better than what Infamous does. Better world, better graphics, you know, better voice acting, better everything. But the gameplay, Sucker Punch knocks it out of the park. That's what matters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 8.5.
I like how Colin dropped like a pen, like that was his
little
point.
He's done.
He dropped the mic, he's out.
Phil writes into beyond@IGN.com. I just got done reading the Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation review. Is it just me, or does every major Vita title seem like a disappointment? Games like Resistance Burning Skies, Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation, Mod Nation Racers Road Trip, Uncharted Golden Abyss all fail to live up to their console counterparts. None of them seem to be more than serviceable adaptations, if that. Little Big Planet is the only exception I can think of. I was seriously considering buying the Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation bundle. I'm sure it's a good game, but I'm not so sure it's enough to spend $250 on anymore. Thanks, Beyond Phil.
Well, like I said, I think Vita's turning a corner. I don't know if it can be sustained. But like I said, if you haven't had a Vita the entire time, now's a great time to buy a Vita because there's still all these games. You can stay busy without a new Vita game for a year based on everything that's come out now.
Yeah.
And for all of the games, like the AAA games that we want to be great that aren't necessarily great, there are a lot of good games. I mean, even though I wasn't blown away by Gravity Rush, it's a good game.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't, you know, blown away by a lot of games, you know, a lot of early games. I mean, there's still Super Stardust and there's still Escape Plan and Dakuro is really good and, you know.
He's calling out, you know, every major Vita title seemed to disappoint. Right. And it's one of those like, oh yeah, sure, okay, Uncharted, you know, I gave an 8.5. It wasn't as good as the console, but of course
it
wasn't.
Game.
Exactly. It's a great
game.
That's
a great game.
I'm still saying Assassin's Creed is good. It's just not as good as, and this is, again, well, I mean, we're not even a year into this handheld. I mean, like, you compare this to the PS3 launch, you know, first year games, Xbox 360 games. It's one of those things developers need legs. Like, Assassin's Creed Liberation is still fucking littered with crappy-ass touch and gyroscope bullshit on the Vita. And it's like,
right,
the next game will
this
not
is
have
like,
that.
This is sort of growing pains for this kind of stuff, though, because it's like having, like, PS3 quality software on a handheld is like pretty much unheard of as of a year or so ago, right?
Yeah.
Like even Nintendo, I mean, they're a little better with this kind of stuff, but they know how to take some of their stuff and make it more bite-sized for the 3DS. Like you take something like Super Mario 3D Land, and it's like they didn't try to make Super Mario Galaxy on a handheld. They made a smaller game with smaller levels and smaller scale. But with something like Resistance or Uncharted or Assassin's Creed, they're going for a full-fledged console game. They're not quite hitting it because that's a pretty fucking ambitious goal.
Yeah.
But still, they're trying, and I'm glad someone is. And there's going to be some growing pains in that. Sort it out.
Sort it out.
Well, that was the big thing in the comments on the Assassin's Creed thing today is after people got done being respectful, they started going, wait a second, he's comparing it to the console version. That, you know, this is a completely different thing. And I was like, well, if you're not going to focus on story, if story's not going to be important, then why bother putting it in? Look at Unit 13. Unit 13 didn't need a story.
Here's
a bunch of missions. Go play some missions. Don't worry about stories. It doesn't matter. And that works. You know what I mean? That's how you could have done the Assassin's Creed thing. You could have done it where, it's just you downloaded her memory and here you go. You're just playing these random things and there's like a loading screen before it. They're trying to do something specific, and I don't think we need to go to the point where I kept saying this in the thing, right, that I'm judging the game not based on comparing it to its PS3 counterpart or going console to handheld. I'm comparing it on being a game, if it's fun, if it's entertaining, if it's keeping me interested, right, if it plays well. If it's failing at these, I'm not going to give it a break, be like, oh well, you know, the frame rate's bad, but it's pretty good for a handheld.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like, we're past that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what the iPad's doing, what mobile games are doing. Like, we're past that.
Yeah, I think I took a different tact. I mean, that reminds me of the way I feel about Ragnarok Odyssey, which is, you know, I played like 50 missions of the game. I got about halfway through it as far as I know. And I'm like, I'm not spending any more time with this game. Like, we deserve better than this game, you know? And we know if a game's good or bad based on, you know, on 15 hours of gameplay or whatever. And that we shouldn't excuse games' deficits because they're not living up to what we might have hoped for and not hoped for on a console. Because the Vita is supposed to be ubiquitous. That's the entire idea behind it. So, we should expect, and in limited droves are getting the handheld experience. I think Uncharted is a great example of a game that is not as good as Naughty Dog's trilogy, but is still a really good game.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have plenty of examples of that. You know, even though Resistance wasn't a good Resistance game, it was cool to play a real shooter on a handheld for the very first time. Like, that's memorable, even though the game was not good. You know, so we're getting there. We're going to get there. Yeah. I think Killzone might be an example of a game that will be better than Resistance because they'll learn those lessons. Maybe Call of Duty will be that game. Maybe not.
We'll see. Never a good sign when the developer's like, peace, I'm done making games like this.
Just going to say that Colin's statement about we deserve better is so apt and appropriate for that game that I'm reviewing right now.
Talk about it. You can talk about it. It's already out. It's not like you're in a bargain.
Orgarhythm.
Orgarhythm.
There's a game that you shouldn't buy. Ever.
Orgarhythm.
Orgarhythm.
That game looked really cool.
So for the longest time, I thought it was Ogarhythm. Yeah. Like, it's like a kind of tactics ogre, except it's rhythm. So it's like a music strategy game, which is what it is. But that's not. It's actually spelled Orgarhythm, which isn't a word.
This changes a lot, because when Greg asked me if he could borrow you for this game, I read it as Ogarhythm. And I was like, sure, that sounds great.
But now, but this is no.
Orgarhythm's a different deals off the fucking table.
This was a really frustrating game for me, because it was a rare circumstance where, you know how there are some games that are perhaps have a certain level of difficulty, or there's a challenge to them where you know that in your head you think that you'll be able to eventually overcome it, either through practice or through change in strategy, something along those lines. In this game, it almost feels like the game systems are like putting up a wall and are preventing you from really punching through and actually being a successful player. And it's also a bad game. Mm-hmm. It's really frustrating, and it's a shame too, because as I was saying on Twitter, the premise is very cool. Because, as I said, it's kind of like a musical RTS, where you have a group of three little soldier like squads, and you send them out in rhythm with like the music. But it's actually not very good at all. Mm.
Funny story. Yeah. We started down the pick of the week path and then never picked one. We just kind of moved.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, man, we've gotten quite
Smart Ass is also really good. I'm a big fan. It's a brain training game, and
That game's slick.
It's a well done brain training game.
I'm guessing you already told everyone last week to get Unfinished Swan.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's go with Orgarhythm then.
No, we're not doing Orgarhythm. So, what it would be? Okami HD?
Yeah, I mean, that's a safe bet.
Yeah. Okami's awesome. And now it's an
Can't
HD.
Go wrong with that.
There you go. All
right, what do we give it?
I want to say 9.3
today? Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. Somewhere in there.
Something like that.
High nines.
Maybe it's finally my time to play Okami. Never got
really?
To it. Yeah, never got to it.
I started and never finished. So yeah, I'm looking.
Trophies.
I'd like to get to it, yeah.
I think I may have said this on like hundreds of episodes of Beyond ago, but am I the only one that found it really annoying, the little sound effects they make when they talk, where they're like, me, 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 me. And you're like, no, yeah, could I actually just get text or a voice or neither?
It's pretty annoying. Yeah.
So anyway.
Brian Stein writes in. He says Need for Speed Most Wanted has gotten a lot of publicity for bringing the console experience to the Vita. Are you guys reviewing the Vita version in-house, and when can we expect it? If you've played the game, how does it compare in terms of expectations to the games mentioned above? He had also been talking about Assassin's Creed and Ragnarok and yada, yada, yada. Brian Stein, we are. Daniel Krupa, who did the console version, is also doing the Vita version. He hopes to have it Wednesday, if not Thursday. So look for it soon. It's been on my desk. I haven't played it. I'm not a racing guy, so I have no real business telling you anything about it. Jeff Gerstmann over from Giant Bomb was tweeting this morning, though. Same thing. He's been too busy to actually sit down and review it, but after playing it for a little bit, he says it looks really good.
Cool.
I played it at Comic-Con, and I wrote about this in my little Vita piece from Comic-Con about the 8 games or whatever that I played. Mm-hmm. That game, unless I'm fucking crazy or I was playing an old build,
crazy.
Doesn't look like a PS3 game, like, at all. Like
on PS3 or on Vita?
On Vita. Like, it's supposed to be, like, ubiquitous, like, this is the PlayStation 3 game, and it's like, I don't know about that. You know? Like,
I mean, I would expect the graphics take a hit.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, it just didn't... It felt like... And look, like they're building this up to be like, this is the console game. We built this we built this with our own team. This isn't something that we outsource. I played it for like only 5 minutes or so, and I'm like, I'm not very good at racing games, and like you, I don't have anything worthwhile to really say about them. But in terms of aesthetics, I was like, I don't know about this.
I hear you. Interesting. Yeah. Nick, the Scottish guy, writes into beyond.ign.com. He says, Beyond.
Beyond.
What's up, guys? Firstly, I just want to say how much I loved The Unfinished Swan. It was really a great game. Story is awesome. Gameplay smooth, and it had a story to follow. He really likes the story. No, it had a story to follow, unlike Journey, where you're just randomly walking for 3 hours. But here's my problem.
Easy.
Hold on. There's another. We're going to get back to Journey in the next question.
Right.
Also unfinished one. Here's my problem. It took 4 years to make. That's a hell of a long time. I understand it's a new team, just out of school, and it's their first game, but still 4 years? Do you think that there's more to the picture? No pun intended. Was the game stuck in development hell like GT5 and The Last Guardian? Let me know your thoughts. Nick, the Scottish guy.
I mean, it sort of was. We had
Ian Dallas
on Up at Newton. He kind of talked about how that game was something, and then Sony came along and was like, hey, we're going to really help you with this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it might have been 8 years if it wasn't for them.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, he was on Beyond, too, and when you talk to him about it, keep in mind from the 4 years, you're talking about the fact that, he brought it in as a demo at school.
Yeah.
And then it started going from there. So you're getting the wheels going, and then, it was one of those things that they got under the umbrella of Sony, from what he said, started off with his idea, and then, they took a left turn somewhere along the line and got to where they were. So, it needs continues to come. I do not think that's the same thing that's happening to Last Guardian. GT5's fine. GT5 was just like, we're perfectionists and we want the fucking steering wheel to look pristine. That's what I think happened there. And then Last Guardian is just off the rails, obviously.
Yeah.
No doubt.
It'll come out. There's no help there.
We'll see.
All right, Colin. I need you to hold back Clements because it's going to get heated.
Okay.
Matt from the UK writes in, I recently got a backwards L with a line through it, 10 PSN gift voucher. It's £10. He got a £10 gift voucher being from the UK. And I was thinking of investing in either the Unfinished Swan or Journey, but I am not sure which one to go for. What would you guys pick and why? P.S. All my best wishes go out to those affected by Storm Sandy. Thanks, Matt in the UK.
Didn't you answer this on Twitter? I thought I saw you talking about recommending Unfinished Swan over Journey.
Yeah, well, me personally. Yeah. But I know that there's no – you can't go wrong. Both games are excellent. That's the whole
thing. So they're both probably two of my favorite downloadable games of the year. But I was talking about this with Mike Drucker. This is the problem that we face now. And we're going into game of the year conversations and stuff like that. This – debate sucks.
Yeah,
it's they're completely fucking different games. Like they're not even, there's nothing similar about them at all, except for that you use the internet to download them.
And they're both like, and they both have that art house thing going.
And they're artsy.
House, spelled HAUS.
But I mean, this is like this is the apples and oranges as close as you can get it. That being said, I have no idea. I enjoyed both for completely different reasons.
Yeah, and I think that's where Clements and I – have you played Unfinished Swan yet?
No, not yet. It's downloaded, though.
Oh, good.
So I took one step.
The downloaded Swan.
That's the hardest downloaded part. Swan. The hardest part. Yeah. I mean, I would go Unfinished Swan, and it's just because strictly just personally speaking, I connected more with that. When we talk about Journey or Unfinished Swan, you talk about, you know, these emotional games, how they play to you personally and how it all works. And I love Journey. Journey is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. And you wouldn't go wrong getting it. But for me, the storybook and the orphan story and all this, that was what I wanted or what I connected with or what I wanted more, I guess, out of that experience.
It spoke to you as a young orphan boy.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm excited because I know extremely little about Unfinished
Swan.
Keep it
that way, yeah.
I think go in with completely blind, sometimes that's the best way to do it.
When they go to fucking space, that shit gets insane.
Whoa.
Dragon. Yeah, I mean, Journey was great. It was a lot of holding up. And then you're at the end of the game, and you're like, oh, that was interesting.
Sure.
And then you start it over again. But it was beautiful, I guess, in the same way as Unfinished Swan. It's sort of about discovery, and there's all this magical shit happens around you, and then it ends.
Yeah.
But... yeah, get them both. I mean,
yeah, totally.
What do you have to do? Come on, mow a lawn or something?
A backwards L line through it 20. That's nothing.
Just get them both. You owe it to yourself. Yeah. Please, do it for me.
Nick, not the Scottish guy, writes in, I'm curious how much attention the PlayStation All-Stars will get in the future if Battle Royale does well. Will we see brands like Hotshots Golf give way to PlayStation All-Stars Golf? Maybe we'll see a pure kart racer without the creation suite, but full of Kratos' blades and reps?
What?
That's how he wrote it. PlayStation Move Heroes was obviously a step in this direction, but wasn't given the kind of attention that Sony is giving to Battle Royale. So I don't see it out of the realm of possibility. Just curious to hear your thoughts, Nick.
I understand what he's saying.
Are you going to see PlayStation All-Stars spawn off now?
Oh, like other spin-off
games? Well, basically Mario. Does. Yeah, exactly. Right, Mario Golf. Mario Tennis, PlayStation All-Stars Tennis,
okay.
PlayStation
I don't think so. I think that what, you know, first of all, I'll say it again. I think people are going to be surprised about Battle Royale. But depending on how the game does, I think that the first thing you have to wonder is if Superbot will make a sequel. And if they do, then you assume there'll be DLC support and stuff like that. See, this is the game where Greg and I mean, I've said it internally. I don't think I've ever said it on the podcast. Like, this game could sell...
I think you said it last week.
Yeah, it could sell 500,000 or 5 million units.
It's right. going to be really
I have no fucking idea how this game's going to do, and I don't think it really matters how it scores. Like, I think it's about ads and about how it's marketed, and if they start marketing it soon... and they start pimping the Vita version of it and saying you get this for free and that this is a, you know, this, why do you care about Drake? Why should you care about Cole? Why should you care about Kratos? That it's the messaging behind the game. But I don't think you should be surprised that the game's, you know, at least from what we've played, is really good. That's not surprising at all, considering the pedigree of the people that are making it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that they're going to go the Nintendo route, as much as it would be cool to have like golf and tennis and
that'd be awesome party if they did. And yeah, all these,
like, I don't know. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's a good look for them. You know?
So, I mean, for the Nintendo side of things, it sort of makes sense because they're mostly pulling from like the Mario world, which is this sort of like uniform cartoon character thing. But if all of a sudden you have Kratos playing golf, it's sort of a leap. Like, I get him in a fighting game, right?
But I mean, I would love that. I love Hot Shots Golf.
Kratos was already playing golf, remember?
Was he?
Yes, he was in Hot Shots Golf.
He's done tennis too. Is the
what is he? How does he? Okay, did he give him a racket or does he hit the ball back with his?
He had a racket, I think.
Wow,
I can't remember anymore.
How did I miss this?
It's like DLC or whatever.
It was in one of the God of War panel at PAX, maybe. Mm-hmm. And they were like, let's look at all the various versions of Kratos. And then it'd be Kratos stabbing Pegasus through the neck. Mm-hmm. And then he would be snapping a harpy in two. And then it would show like the PSP version. And he's like swinging across, you know, somebody. And then all of a sudden he's like on a golf course. And he's like, four! It's awesome. That's totally great. Awesome. Everybody laughed.
It's funny you talk about, you know, making sure they market... PlayStation All-Stars, which they should soon. Little Big Planet Karting out next week.
Wow.
Heads up, everybody.
That game is doomed.
Trying to keep it a secret.
Doomed.
Keep it secret.
That game is doomed. See, the thing with All-Stars, though, is that they are... I'm pretty confident that they are going
to
market it.
Sure. And
they have to start
soon. We've said that about a lot of Sony
I know, games, but this is the game, man. Like, sure, I think...
This is the game for them this year.
They formed this studio. It's a second-party studio. They formed the studio for this game. They have, like, legitimate... This isn't a hack studio. This is a legitimate studio full of people that make fighting games. Yeah. Omar Kendall and Seth Killian are not a fucking joke in the fighting community. Like, I imagine that there's some contingency there that to get that kind of talent, you have to kind of promise that they're going to do right by their game. You know, I don't think Sony's worried that the game is going to do well. If anything, I think the studio is probably worried that Sony's not going to do right by the game. You know, So but yeah, Little Big Planet Karting.
I think it's honestly possible that it could sell less than 500,000. That was the low end of the spectrum you had predicted, but I don't know.
Worldwide, I don't think so. I think it does 500,000 pretty easily.
Yeah, I do too. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you just take small groups from each one of the fan bases that is involved in that game in some form, that builds up to 500,000. Especially worldwide.
I'm just worried. Sony has made mistakes in the past.
I don't know if Japan's going to eat it up, actually.
It's got Toro in it.
They get it first, I think. Unless
that sounds right, actually.
I think they get it like way earlier than we do.
Japan loves fighting games.
10 days earlier or something like that.
See, I really loved what Nintendo did with the last Smash Brothers in terms of building up hype. I think it was like once a week they released they're like, here's an item, here's a character, here's a
Smash
weapon.
Smash Brothers Dojo? That was one of the greatest tools.
That is a brilliant way to build up.
Keep a conversation going. Yeah.
Well, they wanted to
cost you
any
advertising dollars.
You have to remember that we never saw what they wanted to do because everything leaked in the beta. There was nothing, you know, and that's why I was getting frustrated because I saw the final game months ago and people were like, well, there's got to be more characters in 20, and I'm like, no, like there are no more characters. Like these guys kind of got screwed themselves with that beta. Like, we don't know like what the rollout would have been because they weren't able to do it properly, you know, and that's kind of a shame. So, you know, would that have built up hype? Sure. I think that there's two things that they're fighting. Is one, and it's a fighting game, so that's
a
kind of a double entendre.
They're fighting a lot of things in stores this fall.
One thing they're fighting that nothing they can do can remove it from the fact that everyone thinks it's a Smash Brothers clone and it's an unabashed Smash Brothers clone. There's no doubt about it. But
it's not the way you've explained it to me is that it's not.
No, I mean it doesn't play like that. But I mean
the game begets
the other.
For sure.
And then I think the other thing is that these characters just aren't that important to people. And you know, as much as I love Cole,
You
know, as much as I love these characters. Yeah. I think these characters are great, but with the exception of Kratos, no one loves Kratos.
one of probably the most popular.
I know. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. They have to combat those things, and I think they have to just do it with clever marketing. I think that, you know, what I said at Comic-Con is true when we did Podcast Beyond, which is like the more people that play that game, the more people like it, you know? And there were a lot of people playing that game at Comic-Con on Vita and on PS3.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's just going to take people to play it to believe that it's a mechanically sound game. And the other thing that really stood out to me, because people play Smash Brothers still in the office on Wii.
Yeah.
And I pass by and I look at it and I don't really think twice about it. But then when I have, you know, All-Stars on my screen or whatever, and I'm playing it, and I'm like, wow, this game just looks so much better, animates so much better. You know, like, there's something aesthetically about this game.
Literally a generation apart.
No, they are. And I think there's just all sorts of hooks that they can use to try to convince people, because Smash Brothers on Wii U and 3DS are a long ways out. There's a huge gap there. And the other thing that they're trying to do, and I think they're doing successfully, is trying to breach the hardcore gaming community, the hardcore fighting game community, which I think is why they got Seth Killian. So, there's a lot going for this game. It's just they have to execute everything very specifically. It's like a political, it's like a presidential race, Greg.
Yeah.
You got to hit all the notes. to make
all
it.
The
to,
notes.
To
I'm waiting for some stump speeches from Parappa the Rapper.
We'll see.
Yeah. Final email. Believe. Final email of the week here for Podcast Beyond episode 264 comes from Adam Price. We've been making fun of those fuzzy foreigners. Adam Price here to help us out. Beyond. Yeah. I'm a huge fan from the UK. I just wanted to share with you a PSN code for Marvel Pinball Avengers Chronicle. Keep up the great work. SJLJE4HT H439. Thank you, Adam, for sending that in. Congratulations to whoever in the UK gets that with PlayStation Network.
And if you want that on Xbox 360, just add 65 more digits to the end of that code.
Terrible. I hate reading those things. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Podcast Beyond episode 264. We'll be back each and every Tuesday with a new PlayStation podcast. But remember, this doesn't keep the lights on. This does nothing for us. Come to IGN.com, read articles, watch videos, comment, subscribe, share, like, all that jazz.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter. IGN is IGN. I'm at Game Over Greggy. Colin is at No Taxation. Brian is still at Agent Bizzle.
Yep.
Just making sure. And then at Plum Cider is Powerhouse.
That's me.
Formerly known as Ryan Clements.
Formerly known. I've never gone by that name again ever since
it's
then.
Over. Get your license changed.
Yep. It already is.
Powerhouse, take me home.
Powerhouse. Hello, everyone. I haven't been very talkative on this episode. But
okay.
That's because a lot of people wanted to talk Assassin's Creed, and I haven't gotten to it yet. We end every episode with a song, which is either performed by us or performed by a member of you, fine community members. Just like Mollusk. Excuse me. It's a tough word to say, actually,
Mollusk.
When you think of it like that.
Yeah.
I say Mollusk, though, even though that's not actually kind of how it... Mollusk.
Is it like a mollusk, like the
yeah,
type of animal?
That's yeah,
exactly
yeah.
What it is.
I like clams.
Yeah, clams.
Mussels.
Craig Miller, age 5.
So he sent in. That's obviously not his real name, but he sent in a song from his roommate's band, and I think that this whole setup for this is really entertaining. Allow me to share it with you, fine gentlemen in the room.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the song "I'm a Plant, Not a Man, Not a Plant Man" by the band
Plant Man,
Colossus at Best. And it's about Swamp Thing.
Okay, oh, nice.
So here's a song about Swamp Thing called "I'm a Plant, Not a Man, Not a Plant Man." But I really have to read the story of how this band came up with their name. Okay,
is it weed? Short. It's weed, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's amazing. I'm just going to narrate from Mollusk's point of view. A couple of years ago, I had broken my arm and had to have surgery, leaving me with several metal plates in my arm. One night, our buddy Landon began to jokingly and drunkenly berate me for it. Quote, and this is his friend Landon drunkenly berating, quote, "What, you think you're an X-Man with that metal in your arm? You're not Wolverine. You're not Magneto. You're Colossus, man, at best."
That's awesome.
That is legitimately awesome.
And so the name was born, although that was well before the guys got together to play music. Little did Landon know, Colossus is my favorite of the X-Men.
Wow.
Beyond from Mollusk. So this is
Cease and Desist from Stan Lee. Beyond.
I'm a plant, not a man, not a plant man. Beyond.
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 Anna Sheridan, New York Times best-selling author of supernatural horror, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the past?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
I need you to save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.